Intervju Radija Študent.
Framing is an emotional language. Intervju z režiserko Stefanijo Cassini. She's gone to break your heart in two. It's true. It's not hard to read. Na Lizbonskem filmskem festivalu Doc Lisboa smo poleg nagrajenega Joao Pedra Placida, s katerim smo se pogovarjali v prejšnjem RKHV intervjuju, ujeli tudi italijansko igralko in režiserko Stefanijo Cassini. Cassini se je na festivalu predstavila z dokumentarnim filmom oziroma portretom o Paulu Morriseyju. Pogovor je tekel o tem, kako uspešen je bil njen pitching, kako sama producira svoje filme ter kaj se skriva za imenom Paul Morrissey, ki je med drugim ustanovitelj skupine Velvet Underground ter nekdani tesen sodelovec Andy Warhola.
Could you tell us why you came to Doc Lisboa Festival?
Well, I was selected for presenting my project at Doc Lisboa Festival, which is a kind of 1 week workshop to better focus on your project and so being able to make a pitch, a convincing pitch. So that's what we did, in a very good way, I have to admit. I mean, the tutors were very helpful. And it was very, very, very nice to be with other people and being able to accomplish the work. The pitch was quite interesting to do it. My project is a project about Paul Morrissey. And it's a kind of portrait of Paul Morrissey because I'm a very good friend of him. And my life crosses his life in 1972 when I was an actress. I was a kind of young, talented, successful actress in Rome. I acted with Bertolucci, with Dario Argento. And when he came down, it was a big, big excitement for the cinema community because, of course, we knew his trilogy, Flash, Trash and Heat. Also, it was a kind of underground movie. And I think at that time one of them was banned or something like this, but we had the possibility to see it anyway. And we were very curious because Carlo Ponti, which is a very straight, traditional producer, put some money on this project with Paul Morrissey, which was considered the kind of avant-garde young director and quite crazy. And I didn't speak a word of English at that time. And so I saw Paul, and Paul said to me, "Oh, you will be perfect for Rubia, one of the leading roles, except you have to speak English." So for 1 month, I went day and night studying English.
When was that?
In 73. So after 1 month, I came back to him, and I said, "Okay, here I'm ready. I can speak English. Of course, I speak with an accent like I'm doing now, but he liked very much the accent. And he said, "Perfect, because I don't have a script. We just have a sort of canovaccio. And I will leave my actors free to improve the lines, invent it, so there is a lot of improvisation." And I did. And sometimes I invented some neologism, which he liked very much. And put it in the film. So because of him, because of this incredible input he gave me, that you can do a film, if you have a story, you can do it, I became later on a director. Well, I started, as I told you, as an actress, and I performed with very great director, like Bertolucci was in 1900. With Peter Greenaway, The Ballet of an Architect, Suspiria by Dario Argento, with Marco Ferreri. And then, and then I did a Paul Morrissey movie, and then Andy Warhol's Bed. And with Andy Warhol's Bed, I arrived in the United States, and I decided to stay in New York. So I was there in New York for 4 years, doing a sort of reportage for Italian television, and I started to direct the reportage. And with my friend of mine, we decided to make a movie about the bunch of Italian that time. We are 1980. There was a kind of Italian group, all young like we were at that time. They came to the United States to follow the American dream, to see if they could make it. So there was an actress, a guy who deal with the punk rock group, a journalist, you know. So we made a movie called Lontano da Dove that went to Venice Film Festival. So later on, I started to direct and direct another feature movie, an Italian one, Paradiso di Bugie. And then I directed 6 movies for Italian television. And then, 20 years ago, I decided to go to start to do documentaries because it sounds, for me, was much more interesting. And I started to travel all around the world doing a lot of documentary for Italian television. And then I started my own company. So I'm quite old now.
But I really liked your pitching yesterday. It was really, really good, like in a sense of performance as well. And you got really positive remarks. What is your opinion now? Like, was it very helpful for the, you know, development of the production and film?
Okay. I've been in the market enough to know that the kind of panel in this kind of occasions, they do very nice remarks, but they never put, very rarely, they put money up front. They like to see the work. And I knew it that from the beginning, especially when you are doing a movie like mine, which is based in one character, like Paul Morrissey. So you want to see at least a rough cut to understand if this kind of portrait will fit on your strand in terms of dealers, you know, or broadcaster or theatrical distributor. I knew it that. But I just want to test if Paul Morrissey's name would ring them a bell, which did. I got many good response. Oh yeah, it would be nice to make a movie on him. Nobody really made it. We always we have many movies about Andy Warhol, but not about him. And it looks like a great character. So positive comment this way, no money. So now I have 2 options. Or I found some money because I need at least 30,000 to start the way they usually want. That means with a comment on light director, DOP, blah, 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 blah. Or I decided to do it my way. So probably in January I will buy a low-budget ticket. I will take my camera. I will go to Paul and we start to do a conversation and shooting.
Where does he live now?
He lives in New York. And later on I will be back and I will start editing, and if I need something else I will go back. And because I have a special access to his archive, I'm going to do anyway a good portrait. If they will like it, okay. Otherwise it will be for you, new generation. At least you would know who he was and what he thought.
What do you think is like the most important that he can bring to the movie? You said this archive.
Well, I think he's a very, very interesting character. First of all, because it's completely different what the people think it is. Because it was associated to the fact that in New York, Andy Warhol, so beautiful and damned, drug, rock and roll, etc., people think he was one of those damned, which he never was. He is a very straight person, and he was a very straight person. I could even say very how could I say, reactionary. He's a Catholic. He's Irish, so he's very Catholic. He's against rock and roll, believe it or not. He likes jazz. He likes the old movies from the 30s and the 40s. And he's an incredible, he has an incredible knowledge of movies. It's really a pleasure to sit with him, watch an old movie. He knows everything about it. And he makes you notice things from the lines, from the way it was shot. He knows all the directors, you name it, he knows all the biography of the big star of that time. And it's also very, very interesting to talk with him about his movie. Because you really understand why those movies were made, how he got the idea of completely break the cinematographic language that used to be, like you still see it, and the aesthetic he brought up. The fact that he really pioneered male nudity, and why? Why there is so much nudity, why there is so much sex, why there is so much dope and drug and in this movie. Since it is the way I told you. Mm. But it's very interesting, these contracts. I'm not going to tell you now, you better see the movie. Why? Mm. But it will be a very open the door of the incredible personality of this artist in terms of director and connoisseur of cinema. Mm. He knows everything about Italian movies. Mm. He knows everything about Italian actors, French. I mean, it's a legendary knowledge on cinema. He should do masterclass every here and there. Mm.
You said you established your own company, right?
Yes.
Do you work with your producer, or are you producer for your movies?
I tell you, I am 7 years ago, after I've been made many documentaries for Italian television, and with other producers, I decided, what the hell? I'm the one who goes to knock the door to the television. I'm the one who directs the movie. I'm the one who does this research. And I have to split part of the money to the producer. I want to do the producer myself. So I established my own company to be more independent. And I am the producer of myself. And my company is my computer. Like Paul Morrissey told me to do. So actually I produced film, basically the film from me and my husband. But I have a big network of professionals around me. So as soon as I sign the contract, immediately the network arrives and I work with professionals, freelance.
Mm-hmm. Professionals meaning you mean like
editors, assistant producer, script writers, DOP, sound engineer, you know, the people that you need, the graphic designer, because I used to work with them all the time, and there are many freelancers, and the freelancers are the best one. And we are all the same community, you know, more or less. And as soon as I sign a contract, I make the team.
Mm-hmm. Usually you direct, or do you or sometimes also take a camera? Are you also sometimes?
I do. I like to have a DOP when I need it. But in some occasion, in some documentary, where you have to be very close and intimated, then it's me that operating the camera. For instance, I did it 3 years ago. I did a movie called A Blow to the Mafia, which was a story about an association of young farmers that through the new law in Italy, they could farm the confiscated land. The land was confiscated to the mafia boss, Totò Riina. To farm this land is quite dangerous in the beginning because, of course, or the other. I mean, you are surrounded by mafiosis. It was in Corleone. So they started to farm with many difficulty. And to be accepted in this association, this community, to be accepted and to be able to catch the truth, even the conflict that they had, even the problems they had in between them, because I had to be alone. So from 2 years I followed them, not every day, of course, but in the occasion I spent a week with them, then I went back, and then they called me, we are harvesting, we have a problem. And in fact, one time so the mafiosi burned the entire harvest. And so this is one of those cases where you need to be alone. Mm-hmm. So I work sometimes mm-hmm. with the camera. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And do you have a DSLR or...
DSLR
are these photo cameras?
No, I work with camera, yes. Actually, I always use Sony. Mm-hmm. I don't like to work with cameras where you have to change lenses. Mm-hmm. Because when I do this kind of project, you have to be able to catch everything is coming. And I use the camera like it was my pencil mm-hmm. to tell stories. Of course, I have a great point of view in terms of aesthetic because I'm an architect. So studying architecture, that means you know what to frame, how to frame. My study really helped me a lot in terms of see what is important, what kind of background, the light, the framing, mm-hmm. you know, it's a language. Mm-hmm. The framing is an emotional language. You have to know it to make powerful your story.
Košček soparnega lizbonskega dne si je Stefanio Cassini delila Simona Jerala.
Intervju Radija Študent.